it's a birthday today, something a bit different. Birthday for Lifeline. It was established on this day way back in 1963. And with more on that, former chair of Lifeline, he's now patron of Lifeline and former leader of the Liberal Party in New South Wales, John Brogdon, is on the line. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Richard.
Humble beginnings back in 1963. It's a good story. Maybe a not-so-good story as to how...
Yeah.
How did Lifeline come about?
Well, back in 1961, the Reverend Alan Walker, later Sir Alan Walker, who ran what we now call Wesley Mission, he ran what was then known as the Methodist Central Mission, still in Pitt Street in Sydney. And he got a phone call at his home back in 1961 on a Sunday night from a bloke who said, "Listen, you don't know who I am, but I'm going to kill myself." And he told Alan Walker why he was going to take his own life. And I'd known that story, Richard, for a long, long time, but only in recent years did I hear the second half of that story, which was 2 days later, the police up at King's Cross rang Alan Walker and told him that there was a dead body in an apartment at King's Cross with a letter pinned to it, the chest of this man with his name on it. And it was that moment when Alan Walker said that we needed a lifeline, we needed something to help people who found themselves in that incredibly dark part of their life where they thought the only way out of their pain, of their suffering, of their shame was to take their own life. So it took a little bit of time to pull it together, and it opened this day back in 1963. And what's significant about that, Richard, is if suicide wasn't effectively illegal in most states in Australia, it was shunned upon. Churches wouldn't bury you from the church because you're taking your own life. So it was incredibly shameful upon a family, and we in many states saw it as a crime. So at that point, Alan Walker had the foresight to say, "Look, I don't care what others think. What I care about is people who find themselves in this incredibly dark point of their life." It then grew around the country, including up into the Hunter, where we've got a very strong presence and a fantastic group of volunteers who do great work for us. And here we are 59 years later. We'll answer over a million calls. And late last year, we moved to 24-hour text service as well for Lifeline. So we've sort of been doing the same thing for 59 years, but just using the prevailing technology at the time.
And obviously, 2 years into a pandemic, I dare say that's generated many, many calls to Lifeline in the last couple of years.
We've never seen higher calls than we have seen during the pandemic. We kept setting records. And look, in a strange way, Richard, we don't like to set records. And, you know, you and I have talked for years about Lifeline. You've been a fantastic supporter. And when I was first on the board and first chairman, you know, over 10 years ago, I used to think that a lot of calls to Lifeline was a bad thing. It meant something was going wrong. I'm now convinced that after years and years of people like me and you and others screaming from the rooftops, if you need help, ring Lifeline. Go and see your doctor. Talk to a friend. Whatever works for you. We're actually now seeing people do that. So more people calling, I think, is a good thing, because it means people know they can call, they don't have to tough it out alone, and that it's okay not to be okay. So we've, you know, on average 2.5 years ago before the bushfires, Richard, we were taking 2,400 calls a day. We got up to as high as 3,700 calls. That's a more than 50% increase coming out of COVID, and we're now averaging 3,100 calls a day. And let me give you one thing that's interesting when we think about the floods. Richard, 2 years on from the bushfires, we are still getting 300 to 500 calls a day from people still recovering from the fires. And that is more than we receive, more calls per day than we received during the bushfires. So it just demonstrates that we're going to see this with these extraordinary floods and damaging floods and damaging people's mental health. We're going to see this pain and suffering go on for years. Some people tough it out for 6 months. They're doing okay. They hit the wall. Some do it 12 months in, 2 years in. So we need to be prepared to deal with the mental trauma that will come from the fact that your home flooded down the river and your life's gone gone to pieces.
My guest, John Brogdon, who's patron of Lifeline, former chair of Lifeline. And again, if you or somebody you know does need assistance, the Lifeline number 13 11 14. You mentioned at the start, founded on this day back in 1963, when obviously, particularly in relation to suicide, there was a real stigma. You mentioned churches wouldn't bury people. Certainly from governments, both state and federal, as evidenced by the $25 million support package for flood victims that do need support. Attitudes have changed at certainly the government level, John.
Yeah, they have. And I think they've changed in the public level as well. You know, I think you hear people talking more openly about their mental health, and you'd get that on your program. You know, every week people would talk about that. In a way, that is a positive sign that people aren't as embarrassed as they used to be. We've got more help than we've ever had before. People, you know, can decry the system and say it's not working. And it's not perfect, but let me tell you, looking around the world, we're better than most countries around the world, if not leading in many areas. So as Winston Churchill said of democracy, Richard, it's the worst system of government except for all the others. We've probably got the worst mental health system except for all the others.
Yeah.
But really, we've seen, and you would have seen this in your media career, we've seen a massive change in attitude. And the great thing, to the extent that it can be celebrated, is that during COVID, we saw a 5.6% drop in suicides in New South Wales. Now, that's still too many people taking their own life, and suicide is a largely preventable cause of death. But to think that during a worldwide pandemic, the likes of which none of us alive have ever seen before, that we saw a reduction in suicide demonstrates that message we've been banging away about, which is it's okay not to be okay, don't suffer in silence, reach out and get help, is actually resonating in the community. So our hope is we can keep driving suicide down because people continue to put their hand up. We had some magnificent calls from people, particularly men, Richard, who said, not only is this the first time I've ever called Lifeline, I never thought I'd ever have to call Lifeline. And I see that as a victory, not a failure.
John, as somebody who's experienced firsthand the impact of mental illness, do you take the attitude that, a bit like you get appendicitis, you might have your appendix removed and that's it, all over Red Rover, you're recovered 100%, or do you see it as a chronic illness that you're stuck with it forever and you've got to be aware of the brown dog or the blue dog or whatever always being there?
Look, I think the best physical illness analogy I can use is cancer. You know, some people, Richard, you know, get a skin cancer cut out off their hands or their arm or their shoulders or their head or something, and if they look after themselves, they never go back to a doctor again. And yet we still hear at the other end of the scale, still in 2022, people who get diagnosed and are dead in 3 months, and there's everything in between. That's how I think we look at mental health. For some people, what we call an episodic mental illness, you know, maybe your partner of 40 years has died and you suffer depression, but you can come through the other side and life goes on. People who often break up in their marriages or their relationships do it very tough. And even people who have major physical operations will have a period often of depression following that. But they, in many of those situations, it's an episodic. And then we'll say, I have depression, I'm medicated for it, I have suicidal ideation, which means suicide is part of my makeup, and if things go bad and I catastrophize things, I begin to think of suicide. I'll live with them, I think, for my entire life. I'll take medication most likely for my entire life. And I talk about that openly because I think people need to know, in some cases, the black dog's on your shoulder for your entire life. In other cases, in other cases, it's short term. In some cases, it's really chronic, and it means you can't physically work. You know, in some cases, you're institutionalised. But what I want to send the message of hope about, Richard, is properly diagnosed, properly accepted as an individual, and properly treated, most people can have a fulfilling life living with a mental illness.
Right. Now, back to Lifeline. Always looking for volunteers, Lifeline,
always.
John. Yep.
Always, we're always looking. We've got magnificent volunteers, as you know. We've got over 3,000 people around the country on our phones. We've got another 10,000 or so who volunteer in other ways, including our old-fashioned op shops and book fairs and golf days and things like that. So we're always looking for more volunteers. It's not easy work. You're not manning the barbecue for an hour down at your kid's soccer match on a Saturday. you are dealing with life and death. We do train you well. And people who do it, either do it for a year and find it really tough, Richard, or do it forever and find it incredibly fulfilling in the sense that they know they're saving lives. We always need volunteers. We train you well and we look after you. And donations as well. And I don't care if it's a dollar or $1 million. Anything you can contribute to Lifeline helps us save lives every day.
Good to talk to you. Thank you very much for your time. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, John.
Will do. And thanks for your always wonderful support of Lifeline. And we're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on 13, 11, 14.
Have a great day. John Brogdon, former chair and now patron of Lifeline.